Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You want to hear a throwback?
Oh, my God. Always.
We don't talk about Bruno in my head.
Oh, my God.
Remember when that was the biggest thing ever?
It was the only song Daisy listened to for like a year, and in Spanish. She loved it in Spanish.
Yeah, because I got sent an early copy of an authorized biography of Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yeah.
The Education of an Artist is excellent, but I'm in the Encanto part right now.
Oh, my God.
Right now, so.
We don't talk about Bruno.
So I was I'll take it. This is a shit story we're about to tell. I'll take a little bit of Bruno.
Hi, Jillian Bezzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
You know what is not shit? Our book club. Our book club is so amazing. We've got like 600 people in it. Sasha moderates it, does the whole thing every month. You can get all of the information for the book club on the website. It's truecrimeobsessed.com.
We also have a Patreon in case anyone's interested in that.
We do. Tell them everything.
I can tell them everything because
we have a zillion episodes.
But this is where you get the ad-free version of these episodes. Also, depending on your tier, we give you bonus episodes. So that's where you get like the series that have multiple episodes like Karen Reed
and the old Lacey Peterson ones.
And Hey Beautiful.
And The Staircase and Serial from back in the day.
Yeah, we also make episodes just for you, whether they be old Unsolved Mysteries episodes or episodes of Mob Wives that we just decided we're going to do.
And like at the Hero Bell tier, we send you stuff in the mail. So like you get, you know, the Christmas calendar and the Pride gift. We're sending out coasters, like specially made coasters just for them.
And also at the $5 level, Drag Bingo with Schwab.
Yes,
every
Drag
month.
Bingo.
Every month.
It's patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed, or you can just click the link in the show notes here.
That's right.
What are we talking about today, girl?
Okay. Susan Smith, Someone Stole My Babies. Ugh. This is on Discovery Plus. This is 2 episodes, but we're doing it in 1.
Yeah.
There's not 1 minute that goes by that I don't think about these boys. And I pray that whoever has them, that the Lord would let them realize that they are missed and loved more than any children in this world. We just got to get them home.
Union County 911 operators received a frantic call reporting the kidnapping of 2 small boys.
County communication.
Yes, ma'am. That is a lady. We come up our door, and some guy jumped into a red light with her car with her 2 kids in it.
The 911 phone call described this young wife and mother, Susan Smith, and she says that she's been carjacked and that her 2 children, a 3-year-old named Michael and a 14-month-old named Alex, were strapped in their car seats in the back of the car. So it's not just a carjacking, it's a kidnapping.
So this came up in one of our bonus episodes.
Yes.
Web of Death, episode 6. One of our heroes in that episode is related to Susan Smith. Susan Smith is her cousin.
Yes.
And she goes, if you remember, she's like, this is what made me start sleuthing.
Yes.
Which reminded me of, do these 3 words mean anything to you?
Oh, God.
New boot goofing?
No.
Do you know New Boot Goofin'?
No.
You might.
I barely know Get Up, Karen. I'm still catching
New Boot Goofin' predates that.
Okay.
Lieutenant Dangle, Reno 911.
Oh.
Thomas Lennon in the shorts.
Okay, yeah.
He is so proud of his new cowboy boots.
Yeah.
He jumps out and he's like, genuine ostrich, 3 payments. And then he's like, oh, what? What? And he goes, I'm just goofing. New Boot Goofin'. And it made Ashley and I love it. It's so, so good. Wait, what? Oh, New Boot Goofin'. It's the best. So when I was like, wait, like, I just like watched a clip of that Web of Death episode and
oh
she goes, it's
God.
What made her start sleuthing. I went right to New Boot Goofin'.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, like, this is gonna mean nothing to you. You have met her. There are times you remind me so much of my best friend from high school. Her name is AJ.
Yeah.
And sometimes the way that you just told that story, like, is exactly how she would tell a story. So good.
Love.
Hi, AJ.
Hey, AJ. Hope you love your new boot scootin'.
New boot goofin'. Well, all right, we gotta take it down.
I know,
because it's Tuesday, October 25th, 1994. We're in Union, South Carolina. It's 9:12 p.m. 911 gets a horrifying call from a man who has just had a woman knock on her door basically saying that it's 9:12 in the night, she was just carjacked, and her babies were in the back of the car, and they are gone.
Yeah, so this woman is Susan Smith, and she's looking for her 2 young boys. The neighbor says, like, Susan Smith said, so, like, this is the neighbor telling the story on the 911 call.
Yeah.
Susan Smith told the neighbor she was sitting at a red light.
Out of nowhere, this black guy came up and just opened the door and jumped in the car, and
had a gun, and he had it pointed in my side and told me to drive, and so I did. And when I tried to ask him why he was doing this or whatever, he just told me shut up or he'd kill me.
A black man jumped into her car, stole her children, Michael, who's 3 years old, and Alex, who's 14 months old.
Yeah.
And the guy had to take them out of their car seats, take the two presumably screaming children.
Yeah.
From, again, their presumably screaming mother.
Yes.
Out of the car in the middle of the street. And I'm sorry, that immediately makes me go, what?
Yeah.
Like, if you heard that story, I feel like it would immediately.
Wait, I missed that. He said that the kidnapper took the babies out of the car seats.
Yes.
And did what with them?
Had to, like, take them, remove them out of the car. Like, wouldn't it just be three people screaming, Susan Smith and her two young children?
Yes.
So the story, what I'm saying is, this story immediately should make you go, wait, what?
Wait, well, yeah.
Like, if you were to hear this story, if someone was telling you the story,
yeah.
I feel like I'd say, wait, can you start over? Wait, what?
Because it just gets crazier from here.
Right. So this happens. Susan runs to the nearest house, hysterical, of course.
Of course.
Tells them what happened, and they call the police.
Right, yes. So now we meet David Smith, who was Susan's husband and the father of the boys. This man is an absolute fucking hero.
And he's here today,
he's
like in here, the dock.
He's with us. I love this man. I love
him. Hell and back, literally.
Hell and back.
So he is here to tell us what happened in that moment, like as he knows it. So
yeah.
He gets wind of this.
He gets a call at work.
So he's a wreck. He's driving to Susan. He says a drive that should have taken him 30 minutes took him like 10.
Yeah.
He's like just a booking it to
and
Susan.
He says as soon as he gets to the neighbor's house where Susan still is, she just collapses in his arms. As a parent, I cannot imagine.
No.
I absolutely I cannot imagine.
Yeah, even as like not a parent, I cannot imagine. It is so unbelievable. And to have David here walking us through this tragedy with him,
yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Travel down the road back again.
Girl, hers is back. Look, we know this. Weight loss medications are everywhere right now. I've been on the GLP-1s for 2 years, but let's be real. Like, the price tag for a lot of people is way out of control.
Right. So hers is transforming women's healthcare by providing access to affordable weight loss treatment plans. They connect you with a medical provider who will work with you to determine the best treatment option for you. That's the most important thing, getting to see a medical provider.
Having been through this for years, in my opinion, there is so much more to this than just taking the drugs and losing the weight. And you will have questions for your doctors. So if prescribed, you get medication as part of your doctor-developed weight loss program, complete with ongoing care, check-ins, dosage, and medication adjustments because they adjust them as you go, and 24/7 online support at no additional cost, no hidden fees, and no membership fees. The access to the doctor to guide you through this process is the most important thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you're still taking a medicine. Like, hello?
Yes. And you're going to have questions. I had so many questions.
So weight loss by hers is realistic, not restrictive, and affordable.
Yes.
Hers provides access to both oral medication kits and GLP-1 injectable options. And with oral medication kits starting at just $69 per month with a 10-month plan when paid up front.
So fam, start your free online visit today at forhers.com/TCO.
That's forhers.com/TCO for your personalized weight loss treatment options.
Forhers.com/TCO.
Weight loss by hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not approved or reviewed for safety, effectiveness, or quality by the FDA. Prescription required. See website for full details, important safety information, and restrictions. Actual price depends on product and plan purchased. So Cynthia Barnes is a reporter. She does an interview with Susan David.
And this is the first interview we ever see. And this is where I think she identifies the carjacker as a black man for the first time. Says he has a gun. He pointed the gun at her, according to Susan, told her to drive. She asked why he was doing it. He tells her to shut up. Just keep driving.
He directed Susan to go down the road that leads down to John D. Long Lake. And that's when he made her get out of the car.
And he told me, get out. And I said, well, can I get my children? And he said, no. He said, I don't have time for that.
He says, no, I don't have time for that, and takes off with the kids in the back of the car.
So immediately—
I would be dead. If this were true, I would be— there's just no question. He would just have to shoot me.
Yeah. My questions, however, are, immediately I'm like, if all you want is the car and you don't have any time, you definitely don't have time to deal with two screaming children who are going to be a major hassle and probably get you a lot of attention.
And by the way, carjacker, you've got all the time in the world. You've just turned down a road that nobody knows where you are. Yeah. Nobody knows this woman is missing.
No one's around, clearly.
This is pre-cell phones, and as we're going going to be told down the road that, like, carjackers, this happens often enough that we know that carjackers, when they learn that there are children in the car, immediately abandon the car because they don't want to be, like, arrested for kidnapping.
Right. And also, like, if all he wants is the car, take your kids.
Exactly.
Take your kids immediately, lady. Because, I don't need this shit.
Otherwise, it feels like a targeted attack to kidnap the children.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But we are told this is a carjacking.
And to your point, like, clearly, this
I mean, there's no spoil. We all know this is not what happened.
This is not what happened.
There's no spoilers. Everyone knows this.
Yeah,
case.
We're just yelling at Susan, essentially.
We're trying to take the listener on a journey. We don't need to.
No, we know. We told you about this in the bonus episode. Yeah. We told you she was full of shit.
Yeah.
So the cops are called. There's an APB out for the car. It's a 1990 Burgundy Mazda Protege, whatever that means.
I was like, okay, whatever. Words.
So, like, no one saw anything.
What are these names for cars? Protege.
The Protege.
Taurus.
Yeah. Impala.
Impala.
Isn't there an Impala?
Totally.
Buick.
DeLorean.
Buick.
Why do they come up with these names?
I have no idea. No one saw anything. No one heard anything.
No.
There are no leads. But David and Susan are on the news almost immediately begging for help.
Yeah.
Right?
We also learned that, like, this guy didn't ask for any money. He didn't hurt her. He didn't, like, he said he wouldn't harm the kids. Like, what is going on here?
Yeah. Lots of good questions, honestly.
The cops, we are told.
We spent most of the night trying to run down. Did anybody see anything whatsoever out of the ordinary? Nobody had seen anything. Nobody heard anything.
Nobody saw anything.
So
it's almost as though this didn't happen.
Almost, or definitely. but, like, to your point from earlier, you had all the time in the world, buddy, because clearly you're on a stretch of road where literally no one else is there.
Right.
No one is hearing three people screaming for their lives, the two kids and her.
Yeah.
Like, you have all the time in the world, buddy.
Exactly. But literally, you've got all the time in the world. And so now, and I'm so glad that we addressed this eventually, because I wasn't sure that we were going to. We see Susan giving these, like, these new, I'm heartsick, I'm heartbroken. Broken. I just see my baby's back. She is sobbing. There are no tears.
Zero.
And no one is saying anything about it.
Not
yet. One's like, where are the tears, girl?
Yeah. It's very, like, because you know why? Because you can't.
Because you can't.
Because there's a mom crying about
our
kids.
And the kids are, and why would she be making this up? There's no reason not to believe her.
She's also in rural South Carolina,
yeah.
So the racism, she's really using the racism to her advantage here. So speaking of, they do a sketch of this kidnapper.
We meet Roy. I gotta say, Roy gets real involved. Like, Roy takes a lot of liberties and, like, having a lot of opinions and giving them all to the guy. He's right about everything.
Yeah.
But, like, for some reason, is Roy a cop? I don't know. No, but he's here to do the sketch.
Yeah. So the kidnapper allegedly is a black male, 20s or 30s. They describe him as wearing a blue stocking cap, but it's just a beanie. A plaid shirt, blue jeans. The sketch is only of the, quote, man's profile.
Right.
Like, not even straight on. Last seen in Susan's car. And I'm like, oh, so last seen by Susan.
Right, exactly.
Who's telling us the story.
Last seen and only seen by Susan.
Real talk about, like, setting us all back. Us meaning, like, people, victims, women.
But, like, but also, this was 1994. Like, it's not as though we've solved racism today, but this was, like, nearly 30 years ago. Like, that's, you know, people could say things like this back then.
Right. And like, everything I'm saying is also dripping with sarcasm, which would never come through my voice in almost any other story. But sometimes bitches lie, and now we're dealing with it.
Truly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Truly.
I'd be like, oh, last seen by Susan. Really? Like,
when
on earth would I ever say that?
So, like, women are almost maybe never the perpetrators in these stories.
And sometimes they are, and this is one of them.
Yeah.
So Thursday, October 27th, 1994, day two of the search.
Everybody was looking for the kids. We had people sweeping through the woods, you know, everybody 10 feet from everybody else.
Some of our helicopters would be up there every day in circle looking, and the Department of Natural Resources had the dive team.
People are on foot. The helicopters, the dogs are here. The dive team is there.
Yeah.
Because this road was right by the lake.
They really are pulling out all the stops, which really is going to, like, at the end of this, when we really talk about, like, the waste of resources and money and time and, like, what else could these cops have been doing during this time?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, because the goal is that everyone wants these two little boys found safely, because if he said, like, no, I won't hurt the kids. I don't have time to give them to you. Like, he probably dumped them somewhere. He probably, put them somewhere because all he wanted was the car.
Are they on the side of the road somewhere?
Right.
We gotta find them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but tips are coming in. The car's been spotted. The kids have been spotted. Evidence is supposedly being found.
I just want to say, too, that they get divers in that lake, the John D. Long Lake, and they describe it as black bottom, meaning you can't see 6 inches in front of you.
Yeah.
You know my phobia about, like, deep water. I cannot imagine anything more terrifying than being in a lake as a diver and not being able to see anything?
Not knowing what you're feeling, not knowing. I mean, a lake, it's probably just like snakes and eels and fish.
That's like almost worse than the monsters I'm sure live at the bottom of the ocean.
Look, the ocean is what, 90? Every time I say it, it's a different number. But a lot, like, we don't know a massive majority of it. Like, we haven't explored like 90
and you know
something
what? They
percent.
Can have it. I don't need to know anymore. I think we know all we need to know.
If we haven't learned to respect the ocean by now, we're never going to learn.
Put it on the list.
Let me tell you something. I obviously, because I'm not a monster, watched Jaws over July 4th.
Of course.
50th anniversary. Yeah. I have like a lot of notes for that movie. First of all, I was defending Jaws left, right, and center. I was like, Jaws did nothing wrong.
I know.
We're in Jaws' home, their living room, like whatever. The mayor is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then they kill Jaws. Spoiler. They kill Jaws at the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like... But you know why they do it? I'm like, I see you, Spielberg. Because they made Jaws almost supernatural. Like, he's going back for the boat. He's really attacked. And I'm like, oh, Jaws is, like, way more aware.
Jaws is pissed. But, like, Jaws has come to fruition on Cape Cod. Like, literally, you can't go in the ocean. There are great white sharks everywhere.
Well, sharks are prehistoric. They've been here first.
Well,
they were here first.
We brought them to shore. The whole thing is that there was, like, that Preservation Conservation Act of 1978 that brought back the gray seals. And seals are what sharks eat. So that's why they're coming to shore. And it's like, it's awful. It is their home, but we used to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They used to share with us.
I don't get also the mayor. This one thing that really stuck out. Sorry, this is a Jaws podcast now.
We need a minute.
Like, we do.
Yeah.
The mayor, like, wants everyone to come. Obviously, you know the story. Like, there were a lot of mayor memes during, like, right at the beginning of lockdown.
Yeah, because
he was just like, everything's fine. Everyone's still coming. Anyway, like, just an asshole. Like,
yeah.
Moron idiot. Wonder who he reminded us all of. But at one point, like, the beach is still full, right? And
right.
He's literally walking up to people being like, go in the water. I'm like, everyone still showed up to your little beach town.
Totally.
Why must they go in the water?
Everyone's
there. And he's like, go. So I felt very bad for Jaws and then realized, like, no, this is part of the
thing. Do you know how many people, when I do my live shows, are conspiring to get you on a party barge? Like, literally, simply everybody is.
I know. Also, my mom, that was one of the movies they saw in the movie theater, my parents.
Oh,
my mom was going, jumping like it's not one of the most famous movies of all time. Jumping as if Jaws was going to get her in the living room.
Yeah.
And then at one point, in the most typical Barbara way, she goes, that baby's 50 now.
Oh, they're all dead.
I was like, mom, probably 53.
I know.
The kid was like a toddler.
Well, so many of my friends.
I can't take it. That kid's 50 now.
Ton of my friends were literally extras in Jaws because they filmed it on Cape Cod, right where I grew up.
Oh, my God.
We got to get back to this horrible story.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's great. I love that detour.
Thanks. So the police are focusing on the black community because Susan said this was a black man.
Yeah, because we are told, I didn't like this. They said the cops were working with leaders from the black community who, quote, wanted good law enforcement. It's like, no, that's not a thing.
No, I'll say it. I'll translate what they mean.
Please,
black men in this rural southern town are being questioned on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Like, not just questioned, but suspected by locals and cops alike.
Yeah.
You guess how that went for them.
Of course.
We don't hear really about that at all in this, but like, that's what was happening.
Yeah.
So she was targeted. She was like, some black guy did it. And the rest of the townspeople were like, okay,
like,
get him.
We see this not infrequently. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the phantom black guy that did it.
Yeah. So here, Susan's like armor starts to break apart like pretty quickly.
Yeah, because she started getting questioned by Roy, the forensic artist.
Well,
this is where Roy's taking the law into his own hands.
She's asked
by Roy,
what do you want to happen to the person who did this?
Yeah.
And her response goes,
and she said, I feel like when the sun comes up, they'll find my children. But I know how they can get to you when they've been crying.
They were screaming, hollering, crying. And I'm just scared that he just lost his patience or something, you know.
Well, maybe the guy killed them because he lost his patience with them. And I'm like, holy shit, Susan.
I know. And Roy's like, that made the hair on my arms stand up. It's like, and Susan is very off.
She's not there.
No.
She's not here. I mean, clearly.
And once again, I have this note. We keep seeing her in these interviews where she's crying, sobbing, but there are no tears.
There's nothing there.
Over and over and over again.
There's nothing there.
Travel. Girl, ZipRecruiter is back. Look, if you ever have one of those situations where, like, you need something or you're trying to find, like, a perfect TV show or you have, like, too many options?
All the time. It's maddening.
Yeah, the same thing applies if you're a business owner who's hiring. It can be overwhelming to have too many candidates to sort through.
But you're in luck. ZipRecruiter now gives you the power to proactively find and connect with the best ones quickly. How? Through their innovative resume database.
And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO. show. Look, we've worked with ZipRecruiter all the time. We've loved them. We've found great candidates, great employees. I am here to tell you I'm obsessed.
Yeah, and like this resume database uses advanced filtering so they can quickly hone in on the top candidates for your roles.
Yeah, you see a candidate you're really interested in, you can unlock their contact info instantly.
Yeah, so I guess it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site based on G2. Yeah, I get it.
So fam, skip the candidate overload. Instead, streamline your hiring with ZipRecruiter.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/TCO, right now to try it for free.
Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Got it.
I'm singing it because I love it that much.
You're singing.
So now we meet Mark Klass. He's the father of Polly Klass. It was a very famous abduction case in 1993.
We've met him before.
Yeah, because he started a foundation in Polly's name, but also to help other like families in an abduction crisis. And so he says, to give some context, there were a lot of very high-profile missing child cases happening at this time. He tells us about Megan Konka, she was the girl who Megan's Law was named after, Amber Hagerman, the Amber Alert. And he says, but this one rose to a whole new level because we're dealing with not one, but two missing kids at once.
Right.
And we're dealing with two missing kids and there's been no sightings. No sightings of the car, no sightings of the perp, no sightings of the kids. Like, they have just vanished into thin air.
Yeah, and this like wholesome white family and this like, quote, big scary black man is in the wind. Oh no, we're all in danger.
Yep.
So we get the Susan and David story.
Yes.
They met when she was 23, he was 24. They met at the local Winn-Dixie where they both worked.
Yes.
Susan was the pretty popular girl in high school, but David didn't really know her then. And then he saw her at the Winn-Dixie and the rest is history.
And they like fall in love and start dating. She gets pregnant really fast. David is like, when I found out she was pregnant, it was joyful,
right?
But so also like, terrifying.
Yeah, so she gets pregnant with Michael.
Quickly.
And they get married. And David's like, I was terrified but happy. He goes, I just knew that everything was going to be okay.
When Michael was born, from the moment I first held him, I knew he was part of my heart. I enjoyed, you know, watching him change and watching him discover, you know, his hands and his feet. And yeah, it was fantastic being a dad.
He was like born to be a dad, this guy.
Right. Like, it was scary. And they definitely only got married because she got pregnant. But
yes.
He loved being a dad.
Loved it.
Loved every second of it. Even the fear, he was like, this is kind of great. Like, it means I'm a dad, so I'm in.
He said this thing that I so related to. He's like, I loved watching Michael grow and change. I loved watching him discover his hands and feet.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a thing I remember. Like, I was telling Daisy the other day, actually, when I used to feed her, she took forever to eat. She still does. Oh. Children all do. I remember Daisy would have her bottle like this, and then she'd look at her hand.
Right?
She would just twist it like
she's
that.
On shrooms.
Yeah. And she would do it all the time. She's like, Daddy, why did I do that? I was like, I don't know.
Because we all do.
But you're discovering your hand. You're like, what is that
like,
thing?
What is that thing?
That I have total control over.
But like, I'm not thinking about doing this. I'm just doing it.
Totally.
I think about that, about walking all the time.
Oh, I know.
Especially when I'm like, I just walked 10 blocks and I don't really remember.
Sometimes in the act of walking, I'm like, I am not telling my body to do this. It's just doing it. Like your body, like breathing too. You know what I mean? It just happens.
But then you think about it and then you're like, first of all, my heart is definitely about to stop.
I know.
And then you breathe weird until
I know. No,
you realize
true.
That you're doing it without. It's very weird.
100%.
So it was a rocky relationship from the start. They were both cheating on each other and always breaking up.
Always breaking up, always cheating on each other. I am going to ask a kindness.
Yeah.
I need everybody to stop talking about what a great mother she was. I don't want to fucking hear it.
And I'm like, says
it.
Who?
Exactly. I don't want to hear it. And like, I understand. They say it so, and David especially. I think David needs to say it. Because he's like,
Susan, you know, she was a great mother. She always made sure they were clean, fed.
I understand that. I get it. She killed her fucking kids. She let them die the most miserable, horrible, painful death you can imagine. I do not want to hear about what a great mother she was.
Yeah, because everyone is saying everyone said that.
Yes.
And I'm like, but not a single person. You know what I mean? Like, yes. It's all the reporters being like, well, everyone said so.
And I get that they're just trying to say there weren't warning signs. Like, we wish we could have stopped this, but there weren't.
Sure.
I get it. And David, I understand. I love you.
They weren't being physically abused on a regular basis.
Exactly. But like, they say it throughout both episodes so much. I just can't stand
we're
it.
Not going to say it.
No. Thank you so much.
But, you know, like, they were young. They only got married because she was pregnant. I get it. They just weren't really meant to be together.
No.
But, like, during one of their, like, good stretches, Susan gets pregnant with Alex.
Yeah.
And, like, it's scary because the relationship was bad. But, like, David explains, like, we loved having Michael.
Yes.
And so, like, he, at least David, because fuck Susan, but at least David was like, I don't know, I loved having kids. And, like, he was happy about Alex, and he thought maybe that having Alex and Michael would help their relationship. It's not. It never does.
It never
don't
does.
Do this.
No, but also, David says that Michael, the older brother, was instantly very protective of Alex, which I thought was beautiful and so fucking heartbreaking at the same time because he's sitting in the car, unable to help his,
to
little,
help
brother.
His little brother. So that didn't work, however. So the marriage was falling apart, maybe even faster now with the two kids.
Well, they're separated and getting divorced. Like, the marriage is now over.
But during their separation, though, pre-divorce, during the separation, Susan already had a new boyfriend.
Yes.
And we learn quickly, do not worry, we will dive into this eventually.
Yeah.
The sweatshirt that Susan is wearing in that now famous footage of her and David on the news begging for help belongs to the boyfriend.
And she wanted him to see it.
Hold tight.
Yeah, we will get back to that.
And David says, look, even though he and Susan weren't together anymore, he was like, I was with my kids as often as
time.
I could be.
Yeah, like, that's all he wanted to do.
And he says, he kind of stops and says, and again, because he's here with us, he's like telling this to the documentary. He goes,
I know I was a lousy husband, but I was a good dad. I was a great dad.
I was a great dad.
Yes.
And David, I believe you.
I couldn't agree more, David. Be my dad. Thank you so much.
Because David and Susan are a united front on this tragedy. Like, they're doing all the press together.
Well, and now that the kids are missing, David is saying, we were both staying at Susan's parents' house. I wanted us to be together. If there was any news, if the authorities needed to reach us, it would be quicker. Remember, this is 1994. This is pre-cell phone.
Sure.
You know, so they're living together. And, like, I guess going through this thing with the only other person in the world who can understand how unimaginable
it is. I get
it
completely.
Yeah, except that she created the situation.
Except that she's a fucking monster.
She did
But this. David, in this moment, I get it.
Yeah.
Days are going by. Searches are happening. Black men are being suspected, questioned, and harassed.
Yeah.
No leads, no information, no nothing.
And everybody knows, like, the longer the search goes on without any leads, the way less likely it becomes that they're going to find these kids alive.
Right. But now, like, the entire country is involved. This is national news.
The sheriff is holding twice daily press conferences to keep everyone up to date. Like, that's how, I remember this story. It was 1994. Yeah. I was a sophomore in high school. I remember this story.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But this is why Mark Glass is here, because he, like, his life's were after Polly was abducted and killed in 1993.
Polly Glass was abducted at knife point from her bedroom the night of October 1st, as she and two girlfriends overnighted at her house.
We started the Glass Kids Foundation to keep Polly's memory alive. And in the ensuing years, we have been involved in thousands of cases of missing kids.
He made his life about helping families finding their missing loved ones, like, right away.
I don't know what I would do. I can't, as a parent, I can't not think about it. Like, what would I do? I don't know. I really want to believe I'm not a just take to the bed for the rest of my life kind of person. I don't think I am. Mm-hmm. I like lost my breath thinking about it. Like,
of course.
Good for you, Mark. Like, you know.
Yeah. He really dove into the work. He did it immediately.
Yeah. And he's able to speak about Polly's story now unemotionally, which I think is important to his work.
Well, because the Glass Kids, which they closed it down after 30 years, kind of recently in, like, 2024, I think.
Oh, really?
But they used what he called, like, a proven professional methodical approach.
Right. He was in, I can't remember what the other documentary he was in.
A Dateline episode called Vanished.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
And he's in his late 70s now. But, like, he is called to help with this case. His daughter went missing a year earlier, and he's already here to help this family.
She was abducted at knife point from her bedroom during a sleepover.
I mean,
that is the thing that fucking nightmares are made of.
Yeah, you think you're safe. Oh, they're in the house.
Well, like, the parents are home. You know what I mean? Like, it is absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So he flies to South Carolina to see if he can help. He's been invited by David's father.
Yeah.
And by, like, the local authorities. They're like, please come in and help us.
And also, though, in addition to that, he's like, yeah, sure. But he, again, diving into the work, he's working on a television show.
Yes.
So he goes to South Carolina to interview David and Susan for this show about their missing kids. That interview doesn't happen. This man is an expert and a fellow grieving parent, and they refuse to even speak to him behind closed doors without cameras.
And we're only on day three, by the way. It's not like they've been at this for a year and they can't take it anymore. We are on day three of the investigation.
And they won't meet an expert who's also a fellow grieving parent.
Right, exactly. And so, and in addition to that, they've now stopped talking to anybody at all. They have a spokesperson speaking for them. It's Susan's cousin, Margaret.
Not from the bonus episode.
Not different cousin. Mark Klaus is literally like,
when you have a missing child in your family, you're much better getting rid of this woman who's speaking on your behalf and getting out in front of the cameras yourself. Your children's best spokesperson is you. So for them to stonewall America at this point, that started to lead to some suspicions.
Get rid of this woman. This is only going to make you look guilty.
Because at first, because it's like after 3 days of nonstop press, they have completely stepped out of the spotlight. And then you're thinking, like, let me take myself out of it. On one hand, that can be understandable, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you get yourself there, you're sad, you're exhausted, you want to keep the conversation going, but you can't do it yourself because it's too hard, so you have a family member. Like, maybe I'd be able to buy that. And then Mark comes in and he's like, Jillian, shut up. You're 100% wrong.
If you want to find your kids, get back in front of the camera.
Because he says, like, the best and kind of only way to do this is to do it yourself.
Yes.
As the parent.
And he just says, for them to be stonewalling America started raising some suspicion.
And so now everyone's really suspicious of the parents.
Yes.
And they're picking apart Susan's entire story because David is there as the supportive father.
Yeah.
And it's Susan's whole story from the very beginning. She's the only witness, the last person to see anybody.
And David will say to the end of this episode, like, I believed her fully. There, he says, I didn't believe her 99%. I believed her 100%. Travel down the road back again. Girl, Pretty Litter is back. Can I tell you, I was stopped in the wild and the only question the listener had for me was our code for Pretty Litter.
Well, yeah. You know what? That means that they are a thoughtful person and they have a cat and they don't want their house to smell and they also want their cat to be healthy.
Yeah, here's the deal. Pretty Litter is that cat litter that helps monitor your cat's health, detecting abnormalities in your cat's urine by testing acidity and alkalinity levels and the visible presence of blood. So like when the cat uses the box, if it changes color, you know you got to take the cat to the vet. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, my favorite thing, the ultra absorbent formula, because as someone who goes into homes that have cats in them, there's no disgusting litter dust all over the floor. It doesn't smell.
Yes.
Which is the big thing.
And speaking of big things, Pretty Litter ships right to your door. So no heavy bags to carry and no last minute pet store runs. They anticipate your needs.
They absolutely do. And right now, save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy at prettylitter.com/TCO.
That's prettylitter.com/TCO to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. My favorite.
So cute. prettylitter.com/TCO.
Fam, Pretty Litter cannot detect every feline health issue or prevent or diagnose diseases. Any diagnosis can only come from a licensed veterinarian. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Details? Wow, fancy pants.
Girl, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic is back. Look, pre-alcohol is that little drink you take before you have your night out with your friends and you can still function the next day. Like the way I plan to go to the gym on Saturdays and Sundays, and ever since I've been taking the pre-alcohol, I can still make it there on time.
Exactly. So ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic.
It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking Where Have You Been All My Life?
Seriously. So here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut.
It's buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough days after drinking.
Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down.
Yeah, just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Like I said, my morning gym routine is back on, or like Daisy and I were at the park last weekend at 8 a.m., girl.
There you go. And also, the final days of summer are here for you to enjoy. So whether you're heading to the beach, hitting up some vineyards in wine country, or squeezing in one last vacation road trip, don't forget to bring ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. Drink a pre-alcohol before drinking and enjoy every day of summer to the fullest.
Yeah, go to ZBiotics.com/TCO to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use TCO at checkout.
ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/TCO and use code TCO for your 15% off.
Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
And the good times, girl. Thank you so much.
Thanks. So here's Susan's story. Susan was driving with the kids. She's at a stoplight. Remember that. This black man runs up to her, forces his way in the car, forces her to drive down towards the lake, forces Susan out of the car, and forces her to leave the kids in the backseat, and he just drives off into the night.
Yeah.
So we learn what we were saying before, like most carjackers would immediately bail when they see the two kids in the backseat. Totally. Like they don't need that kind of hassle.
And one of our experts is saying when it comes to a carjacker, they've got three needs: the car, the money, and maybe the female driver if they're looking to like sexually assault somebody or something.
He in no way abused her, touched her, molested her in any way at all. While they were driving, her purse was in the floorboard next to his feet. He asked for no money. He did not go through her purse.
Nowhere in that hierarchy do you see taking children. This is not adding up.
And they're like, carjackers definitely do not want the kids.
Two screaming kids?
Yes.
Absolutely not.
And they know this has been now elevated from a carjacking to a kidnapping, which is a much more serious offense.
Right. So this isn't making sense. And so now everyone is asking questions about Susan, trying to see if the story's even real.
Mark Klass, he's like, well, if they're not going to fucking talk to me, I'm going to go interview the neighbors. So he says, we found something very significant from Susan's across the street neighbor. She insisted that she had left the house at 8:30 p.m. And the neighbor's like, that's not true at all. She left much earlier. Somewhere between 6 and 6:30, and he knows this because he was watching her out the window.
He's a nosy neighbor.
Yeah.
He hears the door close, boom, he's bolting, lifting up the blinds. What's going on over there? What's she doing over there?
I gotta tell you, the number of times that nosy neighbors have come to our rescue in
many
these episodes,
times.
You know what I mean?
Like, enough times that make you go, should I be a nosy neighbor?
Be a harmless nosy neighbor. You know what I mean? Be harmless.
Yeah. Susan also kept changing her story. So first she was leaving to visit a friend, but it turns out this friend wasn't expecting our number one
they
and he wasn't even home.
And the friend was like, what the fuck is she talking about? I wasn't expecting Susan.
We had no plans and I wasn't home.
Yeah.
Then she says, oh, actually, just kidding. I was walking around Walmart.
Yeah.
But we learned that no one saw her at Walmart. And this is such a small town and everyone knows each other that like people would have remembered her there.
And
remembered
like,
her being there.
1994 wasn't the fucking Flintstones. Like, were there no cameras at the, you know what I mean?
Probably not.
I mean, on those like enormous rolling ones that like they used during the JFK assassination.
Yes.
Like, I'm just imagining that's what all cameras looked like.
Enormous.
I know.
As big as this room.
Totally.
David, the husband, doesn't give a shit about any of these inconsistencies. These are his kids. He doesn't care about any of it. He just believes Susan. Like, what? He's just like, can you stop asking these questions and go find my kids? Thanks.
I know.
Like, okay, so she's traumatized and doesn't know exactly when she left the house, says
yeah,
David.
Yeah, I mean, I know. But then we get, for me, the biggest piece of information.
And this is what's really been nagging at the cops, too.
So they say this carjacking happened on Highway 49. It's an east-west highway or whatever. There's only those two lanes. And she's saying, I was at a red light and this guy jumped in. And the cops are saying, but wait a second.
And on Highway 49, the light stays green all the time for traffic 49 east to west. The only time it turns red on 49 is another car comes up to it.
You said there would have been a witness.
I talked with Susan at the sheriff's office. Well, tell me about the other car. She said it was no other car.
Susan is saying, no, there was no witness. It was just a red light, no other car. And the cops are just saying that's impossible.
It's impossible. And the fact that she's insisting that there were no other cars around is a really big problem for her.
Well, I'll just say it now. We're going to learn the cops didn't trust her from the jump.
From the jump,
thank God. They were doing a parallel investigation. Like they were following up on every lead that she gave them, but they were also investigating her. Which like, and this was the major, this piece of information was like the major reason why.
Yeah. So as the search goes on, David and Susan keep getting questioned by the police, but then they stop questioning David and they focus on Susan because her story keeps changing.
Yeah.
Or she's like, I'm not going to repeat myself. Sorry, bye.
Right.
So we meet Pete. He's the FBI's polygraph guy, which you know how I feel about polygraphs, but he's here.
He feels the exact opposite. He loves it.
He loves them.
He loves his job. Pete loves a polygraph.
Loves it.
If I was a polygrapher, I would be hooking up everybody I know to it.
Really?
Have you ever talked shit about me when I walked out of the room?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Lawyer, bye.
I know. I'm saying if I believed in it as much as he does, and he like explains the quote science around why, like they are not admissible in court. They are junk. Nobody should ever take one. Never,
doesn't
ever
matter.
Fucking do it. I mean, the only thing about it is that like, you know, the husband is a much more likely candidate to have been involved in this than the mother, statistically.
Mm-hmm.
They had interviewed me early on and give me a polygraph and ruled me out. But they kept interviewing Susan.
He passes and it rules him out immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it can be worked. It can be used to rule you out.
Well, back in 1994, they fucking loved him.
I know. Oh,
they
totally.
They loved them.
Yeah, yeah.
But Pete, like, cuts right to the chase. He's like, are you lying? Did you kill your kids?
I know.
But David admits, David, the father admits, he's like, oh, we absolutely talked about the best way to pass a polygraph, like how to stay calm.
But like, I'm sorry, I don't think Susan Smith is acing how to pass a polygraph. You know what I mean?
No.
Like,
well, she failed all three tests.
And the thing is, we get conflicting stories here. We are told that she failed all three, but then we're going to hear that they were actually inconclusive.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Like,
it doesn't matter. It just matters to the cops. And in this instance, it's working in our favor.
Because like, so we have all of her discrepancies, the quote, deceptive polygraph test, the refusal to speak to anyone, Setting the cousin to speak out. Like, all of this is a bad look.
Yeah.
So finally, David convinces Susan to get back in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
And it's November 2nd, 1994, day 8. And she begs once again, but without a single tear in sight.
But being like, please, I miss my children, bring them back. No tears.
Not a
single tear.
So she's like begging for her kids to be returned safely. And this is how episode 1 ends with like, but everything is about to fall apart.
Yes.
So now we start episode 2. And after 9 days of searching, the cops call a press conference.
Oh my God.
Everyone knows something big is coming. But everyone is thinking, well, they got the guy, right?
Or like, they found the kids. Yeah, yeah.
No. Susan Smith has been arrested.
Yeah.
And David hears about this while he's watching the news. He learns about it with everybody else.
Yes, and finally the cops are saying to us today,
she tried to be the victim. If you go back and look at all the newsreels, she was crying, but she wasn't crying real tears.
Seeing Susan Smith appearing in these press conferences, doing what we call in criminology scrunch crying. She screwed her face up with emotion, but no tears are coming. That usually indicates that they're faking it.
She was sobbing with no tears. We were clocking all
and
that.
And I thought that was such a big reveal.
I know.
Like, I was like, holy shit.
I know. Because, no one ever talks about it. And, like, watching it now, it looks so fucking fake.
But I'm like...
And she gets to the point where she's not even pretending to cry. She's like, no. Oh, my God, I miss my kid. Like, she's not even pretending to cry.
But I'm like, okay, so they didn't say anything because they didn't want to derail the investigation. But, like, yet all of those resources were being wasted. How many black men were being harassed? Not just by the cops, but by the community.
Yeah.
Like... I mean, I know it was a week. I know it was 8 or 9 days.
But still, you know what I mean? And you know, going back to the polygrapher, because he's back here to say that, like, the question that she would get asked was, do you know where your kids are? And that always came back inconclusive.
Right.
That must be, if you are a polygrapher and you believe in the tool of the polygraph, when you get an answer like that, that must be bone chilling.
Totally.
To know that you're sitting next to the killer.
Yeah.
You know?
Remember how this is basically the plot of Meet the Parents? How he, like, forces Craig to take the polygraph test?
No!
It's not the plot of Meet the Parents,
but... Oh, my God, really?
Because he's a human lie detector. That's the thing. He worked for the CIA for 34 years.
Oh!
De Niro. So, like, because he didn't... Like, Greg, like, Ben Stiller thinks he's a... flower salesman,
uh-huh.
Like a flower guy, and he gives him this rare flower, and Robert De Niro, who's the worst CIA guy for 34 years, is like, oh, cool, the Tulipesius genus, like, cool. Doesn't know how to pretend he's not in the CIA.
Have
you not seen Meet the Parents?
No, I have, but the only scene I remember is Ben Stiller going into Terry, like his girlfriend's brother's room.
Okay.
And he's looking for pants or shorts, and he opens like the underwear drawer and pulls up the boxers, and the brother walks in and he goes, are you smelling my boxers, bro?
Let me tell you, Pam is the real villain of that movie. I will die on this hill.
That's Terry Polo?
Yes.
Yeah.
He oversleeps or whatever. There's a whole breakfast party going on downstairs. Everyone is fully dressed.
Yeah.
And his luggage was lost or whatever.
Right.
So, which is traumatizing and so fucking annoying anyway. She doesn't say, let's drop everything.
We'll go
shopping. He has to wear her father's pajamas.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Use all
Judy, I know you listen. I am never wearing Jack's PJs.
It gets worse.
I will sleep naked.
The reason he's upstairs is because he's like, they're like, whoa, like, you should pay a visit to the hair fairy, because he comes down in the father's pajamas to the breakfast party he was not invited to.
Yeah.
The entire family's down there fully dressed. And then he's like, oh, I need clothes. And she's like, go up. And he's like, you want me to go upstairs, wake up your brother who I've never met, and ask to borrow his clothes? And she gives him this look. She goes, like, he's being unreasonable. And I'm like,
so that's what
Pam.
It is. Because he opens the underwear drawer and he pulls out the box. I just will always remember he's looking at the underwear.
Right.
And the brother's like, are you smelling my boxers,
like,
bro?
She looks at him like he is the problem.
I know. That is insane.
All of it. I'm like, Pam.
I know.
The real villain.
I 100. You've had that axe to grind for decades.
Decades.
Seems.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, it's horrifying.
It's horrifying.
That she makes him do that.
I know.
So let's go back to day one of the investigation.
Okay.
So Roy, the forensic artist, clocked her right away.
Very first night, Roy Pascal, the forensic artist, said she's involved in this thing as far as I can deal.
First thing that caused me alarm, when I was sitting with Susan and her husband, David came in. He was comforting her, holding her close, and she was crying. As soon as he left the door, she turned around. She said, well, let's just get back to it. So it was almost like a light switch.
She was like emotional and crying. And then she's like, all right, let's get back to it. He's black. Did you get that? He's a black guy.
Did you write that down?
Do it.
And once again, like, same as the polygrapher, that's got to be terrifying to see. Like, to, like, watch somebody just, like, flip like that.
But for her to not be aware to even, like, keep it up a little bit in front of the sketch artist. Fucking idiot.
Yeah.
So... And then, like, again, they would analyze her video clips and notice that she was, like, crying, but no tears.
Yeah.
They call it scrunch crying.
Oh, my God. She was crying, but she wasn't crying real tears. She's doing scrunch crying, twisting up her face, but no tears are coming.
Or having, like, her head in her hands.
Well, like the Sherry Papini of it all, where she's like, I just don't want to actually look at you when I tell the story.
She's another one.
I know.
She's also flirting with everybody. She's saying to the cop, oh, you look good for 44.
Like, what on earth?
Saying this to the cops who are investigating her two children. Cop goes, she was acting like we were having a pizza party.
I know.
And I'm like, I really like that reference because pizza parties are fucking awesome.
Truly.
Now that you're an adult, you can have a pizza party whenever you want.
Ice cream as well.
You can have whatever you want for any meal at any time.
Anytime. I know you should take care of yourself,
but you don't have to, like, wait for Friday for pizza.
Uh-uh.
You can do whatever the hell you want. Just a reminder, like, you can have a cookie right now.
You know that every Friday, Daisy, she gets a caramel frappuccino with no coffee.
Okay.
And she calls it a teenager
drink. What is
that?
Just whipped cream?
Whipped cream
and milk?
It's like basically milk and caramel and like some vanilla syrup.
Like a pup cup, but for kids.
Literally. And she calls it a teenager drink because she would see, like, she thinks that's what it's called.
She's going to be a teenager next week, so you better get into it.
Oh, my God.
Get ready. What is she going to drink then?
Oh, probably black coffee.
Oh, God.
Girl, this message is sponsored by Greenlight. Look, it is the dog days of summer, and I gotta tell you, this is all about teaching your kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. And there's something about the summer that makes, like, Daisy want to spend her cash. So never a better time to sit down and talk to her about all this stuff.
Yeah, so Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families that helps kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. And honestly, it's never too soon.
No, it really isn't. And we love doing this with Daisy. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on how they are spending and saving. And Daisy's a good little saver, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, because here's the thing, like, kids and teens are building money confidence and skills in a fun, accessible way that feels more like a game than a lesson. Because no one wants, like, a lesson from their parents about this, but
no,
they'll take it on the app.
For sure. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature. We've done this. We do this every week. You can set up a one-time or recurring chores customized to your household and reward kids with allowance for a job well done. So we look at this every single week, and then we look at the app to see how much money Daisy has saved, and we determine how much, like, she can spend over the weekend. And oftentimes she ends up not spending anything because she wants to keep saving because she can see her money grow.
Exactly. Now she's a part of it.
It's true. Fam, Greenlight is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
Maybe that's why millions of parents trust and kids love learning about money on Greenlight, the number one family finance and safety app.
Don't wait to teach your kids real life money skills. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/TCO.
That's greenlight.com/TCO to get started.
Greenlight.com/TCO. Be like Daisy. Learn how to save.
Oh, learn how to save. It's cute. You get the allowance. It's great.
It's so good.
So she's, like, crying one second, flirting the next. Like, Susan, thank God you're bad at this.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
So, okay. So now we're back with the I love that the polygrapher and the sketch artist are solving the shit out of this case. So it's day 8 of the investigation. They all know she's lying. And they know that thing about the stoplight, how it couldn't have been at that stoplight. So the polygrapher says to her, because he's trying to give her an opportunity to, like, trip herself up. He says, I think the carjacking happened somewhere else because we know the light wouldn't have been red if there wasn't another car. You say there wasn't another car. So if it happened somewhere else and you don't want to tell me, I think that's what's going on. She jumps on this.
Because he says, are you sure? Are you sure it couldn't have taken place anywhere else?
And yes.
Because he says that intersection, like, it couldn't have happened there, girl.
Right.
Because we know, like, he tells her about the light.
Yes.
He's like, it couldn't have happened there. And we know for a fact. So did you maybe tell us the wrong place?
The ingenious part of it is he's saying, I feel like you know it happened somewhere else and you don't want to tell me for some reason.
Right.
I'm letting you know it's a safe thing. You can tell me whatever it is.
Because we know it couldn't have happened there.
Exactly.
Like, we know it couldn't have happened there. So where did it really happen, girl? Like, just tell us.
So she says, okay, you're right, my bad. It happened in some rural location. She'd been going there to to meet somebody. That's why she didn't want to tell him.
13 miles away.
Someplace. But she tells them exactly where. And they come back and they're like,
told her that that could not have happened because that where she said it now that it happened had been under heavy surveillance for a drug operation.
We said, hey, we had a roadblock there that night, which we didn't.
They're like, we had a roadblock there that night. We would have seen it. And they're like, we absolutely did not have that roadblock.
So it's forcing her to change her story yet again.
Yes.
Which, if she was telling the truth, she wouldn't have changed it the first time because she'd be like, well, I don't know about that fucking light, but that's what happened.
Exactly. And then we get some investigator who's like, I actually thought it was like some kind of domestic situation where she was hiding the children from David.
Oh,
I was like, girl, that's not it.
No, that's not it.
No, bad judge of character, that guy.
So day 9, the cops finally make their move. They call her in for yet another interview. And they tell her that they know she's lying. They're like, just tell us what happened. Like, we know. And if you don't tell us what happened, we're going to tell everyone that you're lying. And that's what makes her actually cry real tears.
I do think, too, that when you're even for somebody as sick as she is, I can't imagine living with the, I just killed both my kids. I'm lying to everybody. They're going to find out. Like, they're searching the lake.
Then
like,
what was the plan? Why are you on the fucking news?
I know. But I do think that, like, 9 days later, it wears you down.
I guess.
I but maybe not. Maybe she just is some kind of insane sociopath who actually doesn't give a fuck.
That one.
Yeah.
So, just going to door number 2.
Totally.
She's been arrested, and the people are out for blood because they were heartbroken for her.
Can you imagine you're somebody who lives in that town, or you're just a citizen of the world, and you've been following the story, praying for this woman, worrying about her children, and you find out she's the one who actually fucking
and
did it?
And in 1994, she's pointing the finger at this invisible black guy who doesn't exist, like the black men in town.
I know.
I mean, my God.
Of course.
Being harassed for a week.
But we see the sheriff hold the press conference where he says Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with the murder of her 2 sons. The audible scream. The only thing I could compare it to was in the Harvey Milk documentary where Dianne Feinstein calls the press conference on the steps of the city hall to say that both George Moscone and Harvey Milk had been shot and they're both dead. Go YouTube that because it's wild. And like the scream from the shocked gathered crowd is wild.
Yeah. So everyone's like, okay, so what the hell did she do? Dear listener, take care listening to this.
This
is absolutely
awful.
Horrifying what she did.
She signed a confession saying she strapped the boys into their car seats and let the vehicle roll into a lake.
She said the vehicle is in the lake and the bodies are in the car.
Now, the lake on the road that she lied about being carjacked on. So see, there's always a little bit of truth in these fucking psychopaths.
But I mean, she was driving to this lake to kill her kids.
Right. And the divers looked in that lake.
Well, but that's why I wanted to make the point earlier that they call it like a black ink lake or whatever it is. They could only see 6 inches in front of them.
Right. And so I was thinking, though, do you imagine what she must have felt like when they were searching that lake?
Oh,
like,
that's what
I hope
I'm saying.
She was miserable.
Yes.
I hope it was the worst feud. Like,
well, but like, she's got an answer for it. Like, I guess she'd be like, well, the carjacker must have been like, well, fuck it, I gotta get out. I can't do this. I'm gonna ditch the kids in the lake here.
I was hoping she was having a miserable time.
I'm sure. I mean, I can't imagine that this week was easy for her. Because, and now we see images of them pulling the car from the lake. It's been 9 days. The headlights are still on. It is the eeriest, most heartbreaking thing I have ever seen. And all of these officers are talking about, this is really fucking hard. All of the officers are talking about seeing the boys strapped into their car seats in the back seats and saying that, like, that they will never, ever be able to move on from having seen that image.
No. And David, the father, is absolutely devastated because the entire community came to the funeral to support him and only him.
Yeah. He goes, they say the hardest thing to deal with in life is the loss of the child. And I was trying to deal with the loss of 2 who were killed by their mother. They did nothing wrong. And he said the enormity of the pain, I just wanted it to stop. And we will learn later that he was having suicidal thoughts, that he, how do you go on? I mean, how, because even though I'm sure he, like, whatever feelings he had for her instantly went away, but, like, you were tricked by this person.
Well, and so were the kids.
Yes.
Because he says, like, they loved you.
Yes.
They trusted you. Like, they didn't do anything wrong, and you fucking monster. Like, how could you do this to them?
And he says,
the enormity of the pain. I just wanted it to stop. But, you know, now I had to stand up for Michael and Alex. As their father, anything that I could do within my power.
And much like Mark Klass, who turned his pain into action, that's what David does.
Yeah.
Like, anything he can do in his power for these kids, he's going to do.
Yes.
He's going to step up and represent them in any way he can.
Yeah.
So David Brock, this piece of shit, Susan's defense attorney. I know we need defense attorneys. I know. Don't come for me. But
I know.
Like,
yeah.
He says her motive was suicide. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Because she's fucking here.
And they're dead.
So explain that, girl.
Right.
So the defense says, well, Susan was abused and she has an illness and she absolutely cannot be held responsible for this. Because we're told Susan's father died by suicide when she was six.
Yes.
And the defense is saying that this severely affected her. And we are told that Susan has tried to take her own life twice in the past.
She also had a stepfather that she says sexually abused her.
Right. I understand all of that.
Yeah.
That is all horrifying. I just don't understand how her experiences are to blame or are actually responsible for her murdering her two kids in the absolutely horrifying, evil way she did.
Or, like, are somehow justifying that she did that.
Like, I don't understand.
No.
Because we heard that she was such a great mother.
Exactly.
And there were no signs. And, like, okay, I can buy that.
Yes.
There were no signs. But,
yes.
like, now you're trying to say, like, there were signs the whole time. She was sick this whole time.
Because, and to make matters even worse, we start to see some of her signed confession in which she says, I went to that lake because it has a very long ramp. I wanted to end my life so bad. I was in my car. I was going to let it go down the ramp into the water. And she says she was starting and stopping and getting closer and stopping. She then gets, remember, she's there to die by suicide.
And she sat at the top of the ramp and she started to go down and stopped and went a little further and stopped. And at that point, she got out of the car and she let the emergency brake go
and walked away with her children in the back and it just rolled down into the water.
And lets the car roll into the water. We're going to find out later that when the police did a recreation of this using the exact same car, all of the same circumstances, it takes 6 minutes for that car to sink. She had to sit there and for 6 minutes decide she was going to let her children die.
Yeah. She's an absolute piece of shit. And then blame a black guy and then lie and then do these horrifying things.
This idea that she was going to kill herself, even if she was, even if that was like in her brain, when did that switch to I'm going to now kill my children?
And yeah, like why didn't you take, because the lead prosecutor's like, shit, even if the story's true, which it's not, she still had plenty of time to rescue the boys.
And by the way, if you're racking your brain for justification as to, like, maybe this is why. This is not even true.
No, it's not true.
No.
Because they also throw in, like, in addition to her horrible childhood experiences, it's also about how she married so young. Oh, she and David were always cheating on each other. And I'm like, how was this reason for killing their two kids? Like,
no.
In what world does any of this make any fucking sense?
Because the prosecution tells us the truth. The motive was that she fell in love with the son of the owner of the company she worked for. So this company was called Conso. It was one of the largest employers in the county. This guy was really rich and they were having an affair. And, you know, he broke up with her 10 days before the boys were killed. And there's a letter that he wrote to her. The breakup letter says,
Susan, I could really fall for you, but there are some things about you that aren't suited for me. And yes, I am speaking about your children.
And yes, I'm talking about the children.
I'm super into you, really not into your kids. Things would be great for us if you didn't have those kids. Unfortunately,
you do. Unfortunately.
So this is over.
Yes.
Now, could this be sort of like a perfect out for him to be like, unfortunately.
Of course. It doesn't matter whether he means it or not.
It doesn't matter.
Because it's her motive for killing the kids.
We learned he was also known around town as, quote, the catch. His name is Tom Finley.
Ew.
Are you kidding? No, he's rich. he might be a lovely guy.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't know anything about him.
I will strike the ew from the record. I don't know. Unless he's garbage.
But of course, Susan had her sights on him.
Of course.
What this is. So the cops and the prosecution are like, well, this is the motive. But then they start seeing things that are proving them right.
She's leaving Easter eggs.
That sweat. Sweatshirt.
Yes.
So the sweatshirt we said earlier, that's her boyfriend's sweatshirt. It's this rich guy's sweatshirt. She's sending him this psychotic message through the news.
She wore that sweatshirt the night she killed the kids, and she's wearing it in all of her early interviews. She wants him to see, look what I did for you.
For us.
For us. She's telling him, which means this guy knew.
This guy knew.
All along. Not that she told him ahead of time.
I don't think he knew.
You don't think that he saw that as a sign?
I think we would get more conversations with him, more letters. No.
Yeah.
She was so...
I'm all for the conspiracy. Conspiracy theories today.
No. Because what else was in the car?
When we pulled the car up, all of her wedding albums, maternity clothes, all of this stuff is in the back of the car. It's like she's burying her old life.
She was burying her old life. She was getting rid of it. This is, she acted alone, no question.
Yeah, and it does beg the question, was she actually going there to kill herself? You right. know, and I do think in like the familicides, they're more likely to kill themselves and their family as opposed to just murdering their kids.
Because, and that's why the suicide thing is bullshit, because she was going to be with the boyfriend.
Exactly.
Or the boyfriend,
right.
or like, was she just obsessed with this guy?
Right.
And he was trying to let her down easy? Uh-huh. Like, we don't know.
Right, yeah. But the letter from the boyfriend is all the evidence I need. Get rid of the kids, we'll be together.
And when you think, like, this woman is a fucking monster, and she's only, like, 26?
Totally. Yes.
Oh, my God.
I know.
So, David, the dad, so we're at the trial, and David, the dad, is just going through it, because he's like...
He's sitting, like, right behind her, and he's saying, like, being that close to her and not being able to murder her was really hard.
Yeah, he was like, it was hard to see her. It was even harder to be close to her and not hurt her.
Yeah. But he says, I had to remember why we were there and who we were seeking justice for. He is there to get justice for his kids.
Yeah. So this trial was happening at the same time as OJ.
Which is wild. I mean, I guess I knew that, but like that is that. And, but the major difference was there were cameras in the courtroom for OJ and no cameras for Susan Smith, which is why Susan Smith is a name that you know, but you don't remember the trial like how we remember OJ.
Right. Can we not, like, compare every fucking trial to OJ?
I mean, it makes sense because it was happening at the same time.
I guess, but yeah. It's like, not since OJ or until OJ. And it's like, can we?
I know. They're all bad. They're all awful. Yeah.
So Susan never took the stand. The trial was 5 days, and she was found guilty of murder. 2 counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of her 2 sons. David's like, death penalty? Is this a death penalty thing?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, they're saying, like, I, of course, don't support the death penalty, but, like, if the death penalty were ever, like, they're saying, they give some justification as to why the death penalty isn't necessarily appropriate here. What is it appropriate for?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, if we're talking in the abstract of, like, who deserves to not live anymore.
Yeah.
I don't really know what she's doing positively, like, on this earth.
It's almost as though there are, like, benchmarks that say, like, well, the death penalty is appropriate for this kind of murder, but not this kind of murder. And I was like, yeah. She killed her kid. She strapped her kids into the back seat of her car and then pushed the car into a lake.
Like, she tortured and killed them.
She tortured and killed her children.
And then blamed the black guy that we're still not talking about.
So, like, death penalty proponents, explain to me, like, which are the good ones and which are the bad ones. I'm at a loss here.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So she does not get the death penalty. She gets life in prison.
Yeah.
David, of course, hightails that divorce and makes sure that divorce goes through before the trial.
Yes.
David is now... remarried, has 2 children, a daughter and a son.
I just love him. Like, the way that he is talking to the camera about his survival, the way that he talked about how he's saying...
Michael and Alex, they're, you know, part of my heart. And, you know, part of me, even right now, feels like I should be smiling. Because it was such a joyous time.
Even now, I feel like I should be smiling because it was such a joyful time.
Yeah, he loved them so much.
He did.
Like, your heart just breaks for this guy, really, a million pieces.
I was sobbing watching him talk about
this. It's just horrifying. And, like, there's a memorial for Michael and Alex right near the lake. So we end with, like, she was going to get parole in November of 2024.
I read a whole article about this day. Did you read it, too?
I've read, like, 7.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was that, like, she didn't get parole. Both David and his new wife were like, please don't ever let this woman out. They said that she served 15 years for each kid at this point. That's not a long enough time.
Yeah, she was denied parole in November of 2024. But also, the prison guard she was having an affair with in 2001 also made a statement.
No!
Saying that she 100% should not get parole.
Oh my, well, why are we listening to that piece of shit?
I know. He was like, oh, I fell for the manipulation. I'm not around women a lot. How about your wife?
Did he have a wife?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
But I'm saying everyone.
It's garbage on garbage on garbage.
I know. But she's in there. But she's eligible for parole like every 2 years now.
Oh my God.
So we're going to have
to. She killed 2 children.
Brutally.
She's tortured and murdered. If not only did she not get the death penalty, she didn't get life without parole. Who are we saving that for?
I know.
Who's earning life without parole if not her?
And I read this other article, which unfortunately was from the New York Post.
Oh,
so
no.
Take it with like all the salt.
Do you know that the New York Post started as a liberal newspaper?
Like Alexander Hamilton started it.
Is that right?
He's the founder.
It was always like liberal until like the late 70s.
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, ridiculous. So I apologize for this, but apparently right after that decision came down, she turned into, quote, a rude bitch because she was like a model prisoner up until parole. And then once she didn't get it, she was like, fuck this. I'm going to like my true colors are going to show. And she's like,
she's sending back her salmon in the dining hall.
I mean, yeah, like in whatever like 5-star resort she's in, because
totally.
Apparently she like is deserving of all the benefits of all the doubts.
Like, what is going on?
Fucking monster.
Oh my God, girl, we did the Susan Smith thing. What's it called?
Someone Stole My Babies. It's two episodes of that show, How It Really Happened.
Oh yeah,
So yeah, and she's a racist. Like, oh, fuck,
I mean,
you, man.
Clearly, fam, join the book club. You can get all of the information for the book club on the website. It's truecrimeobsessed.com. Join the Patreon, but only if you want over 450 full ad-free bonus episodes to download and binge the second you sign up. All right, girl, we're mixing it up a little bit. What are we doing next?
So we have a repeat next week. We are going to re-air The Perfect Bid, the Price is Right documentary that we did in like 2022.
Oh my God.
And then the week after that, we're doing Trainwreck Poop Cruise. Enough is enough already. We're getting down to it.
This Trainwreck series is amazing. I've watched almost all of them. The Poop Cruise one is beyond.
Yeah, we're doing them all. We're doing Balloon Boy. We're doing The Mayor of Mayhem. Don't worry, we'll get to them.
All right, well, stay tuned for the trailer for The Perfect Bid because that's what's coming up next week. And we love you, fam.
We love you. And we'll see you soon. And just gird your loins for The Poop Cruise, okay? It's actually it didn't have to be that bad, but it became very bad.
Bye.
Bye.
He wins this game, they go to commercial, and it's time to start up again. And the next item up for bids, and it's a recliner. So I listen carefully, and I look at the monitor, and I see it's a Berkline. Wardell, who's just come down to contestants row, bids first, and I'm thinking, please don't bid $5.99, please don't bid $5.99, please don't bid
$5.99.
$650. $650, now let's go up here to Theodore.
$5.99.
One of you is exactly right. $100 bonus for the contestant who bid $5.99, Theodore.
Very happy. I go up on stage. I almost trip going up the stairs. People say you don't really understand it till you're on the stage, and it's true. You get up there and you're just kind of like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. It's very exciting.
Wait, what?
I'm just goofing. New boot goofing.
Oh!